So we're starting a series on the Shorter Catechism, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and she's made these wonderful sheets that might even be beneficial to adults because it has the key scripture we're going to look at, something to remember, a chance to draw a picture as you're following along as well. So let's look at, and perhaps you didn't know that your hymnals had this, in the back of your hymnals we have the Shorter Catechism, and it's actually on page 869 in the red Trinity hymnals. So you actually need your you'll need your hymnal and your Bible open today. A little different. So page 869. And in the weeks to come, you can continue to use that text right there in the Red Trinity hymnal. If you have your own copy of the Shorter Catechism, it's a great chance to bring that, and you could underline things and take notes. On the book table out there, we have a few of those the small blue books, and it's just the Shorter Catechism. And so feel free to grab one of those if that's helpful to you. We're either going to find or order more of another resource that we've had that has the Confession and the Catechism, so we'll have more of those available in the weeks to come. Whichever way that you have it open in front of you, we'll look at the catechism question. And then if you want to ready your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, verse 27, will be our main text today. So Luke chapter 10, verse 27. We'll sort of get everything set here and then dive in. Okay. So the Shorter Catechism is organized by questions and answers, and it helps us summarize our faith and practice. And if anyone knows any of the questions, it might be this very first question. Even those outside of our tradition often appreciate especially this question, and hopefully tonight we'll be able to see why. So let me read. I'll read the question and answer, and then I'll read the question one more time, and we'll read the answer together, and then I'll read the passage for us and pray for us as we get started. Let me read just question and answer first. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So now let me ask, and then we'll do it together. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And let me read from Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Jesus expounding the greatest commandment. And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to the young man, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." And then you don't have it in front of you, but let me read a secondary text to have on our minds. John 17:3, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God, would you bless and add your understanding as we study your word? And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so let me ask you a question. And kids, I'm thinking of you especially, but this applies to everybody. What would happen if you tried to mow the lawn with a pair of scissors? Maybe, oh, you tried it. So what did happen? Oh, so you cut it, fingers get blisters, did the lawn get mowed? Oh. Parts of the lawn get mowed. What if you tried to brush your hair with a toothbrush? That'd be a little bit interesting. You might be able to still get the job done. Hopefully it's a new toothbrush, depending. What if you tried to hammer nails into a wall? JR is going to not like this. Using a guitar. David doesn't like it either. Brian doesn't like it either. The horror. Now you guys get the drill, so fill in the blank for me. You get to generate an idea. You try to write a letter using a pen? No. A carrot. You're right. It would be good with a pen. with a penguin. If it's a very erudite penguin, it could work. So I like that carrot penguin. Or how about paint your house using a Q-tip? That's a great answer. With a tennis racket. Nice. You dip that in the paint and just try to... Oh, man, I'm going to picture that Q-tip moment for the rest of... What are we getting at here? When it comes to certain jobs or things that need done or something that has a purpose, you want to find the thing that was made for that, right? And the question is, and I think this question gets at, what were you made for? What were you made for? Often what we do is we don't know the answer to that question as humans, and so it kind of looks like those examples we gave. As we try to live a certain way or live for a certain reason or have a certain purpose for our life, but if we don't know the right answer, what were you made for, then we get into a lot of trouble, and it's hard for us to find fulfillment. But if you can answer that question, then you can find life. And I mean that literally. Jesus offers for us in Scripture nothing less than, people wax eloquent saying, what is the meaning of life? But Jesus actually gives us an answer to that question. And I think our question here in the Catechism is one helpful way of summarizing what the Bible teaches. And so it says, what is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Let's break that down. What is a chief end? If you think of the words, a chief, you know, the one who's in charge, the uppermost, ultimate, primary. If you said, what is the chief end of a hammer? Anyone want to venture a guess? What's the chief end of a hammer? Smashing stuff. Nice. That pretty much covers it. Because not just nails, right? Yeah, you could use a hammer for all sorts of things. The chief end of a hammer is to smash stuff. So we'll start a new catechism. We'll work on it together. The chief end of a hammer. When we think of other things, smaller things, it becomes clear. Oh, it's made for that. But when we say, what is the chief end, the ultimate end? At the end of the day, what is it all about? The catechism, because the Bible will tell us it's to glorify God. That's our chief end. We saw that in our text, Luke chapter 10. As Jesus, talks to this man, the man's able to articulate the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God, right, with everything, with your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus affirms this. You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. This is life. To love the Lord your God with everything and then to love your neighbor as yourself. This is the chief end. This is what, at the end of the day, you were made for. This is what, if you get to the end of your life, when you get to the end of your life, and if you were going to wrestle with, has my life been good? You actually have a way to measure that. Have I glorified God and enjoyed him? And now I go into eternity to enjoy him forever. It's been said, the main thing, maybe you know this, is to keep the main thing, right? It must have been written in the 90s, very cheesy. But the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. It's a quippy quote, but it's very true. When we think about what was I made for, what did God design me to do, it's going to permeate everything else that I do. What career I go into, what sort of family I pursue, what hobbies I have, all of it then gets informed by the chief end. Or to put it another way, thinking, musically, when it comes to playing a song, and again, JR could teach us rightly about, or you can confirm this, I hope, if you're going to play along with a song, once you find the key of the song, it's a great word because it's like the key that unlocks the notes that you can play. And once you sort of match yourself up with the key of the song, the sort of the ultimate framework of that song, then you can play beautifully within that. And you might play surprising notes. You might do things very different than someone else would do, but you're playing along with this key. Right? Good. Okay, he gave kind of like a good nod there. We'll take it. How about this? This comes more from a productivity sort of world, but maybe you've done this. Picture a jar, like an empty jar, and you have a bunch, you have a few big rocks, and then you have a bunch of little rocks, and you're trying to think, how can I fit the most into this jar? And so what you might do is fill it up with all the small rocks first, and then you try to fit those big rocks on top, and what probably happens, but it overflows, it doesn't work. But if you take those big stones, you put them in first, and then you put in the little stones all around it, it sort of fills in around those. When we think of our chief end, if God has made us for something, that's the big stone, and then other big stones of Scripture, we place those first, and then all the other little things that we do, the different callings that we have, the different passions we have, they all sort of fill in around it once we have rightly set in place those cornerstones in the jar. And this question tells us that our chief end is to glorify God. So if someone asks you, what's the purpose of life? You could say, well, actually, the purpose of life is to glorify God. Like, that's what we're here for. That's what we're made for. What does glorify mean? It means to see his glory and make his glory seen, to magnify him, to proclaim his glory. We've used the analogy before, but it's not that we're taking something small and magnifying it big like a microscope. It's that we're taking something unfathomable like a star, and we're looking through a telescope to bring it into view, even though we can't comprehend in fullness, is what it means to glorify God. We sort of know this intuitively. When you go to a great musical venue or concert, or when you see a sports game that you enjoy, and one of the plays is just unfathomable. I mean, what they do with their body is just incredible. There's something in you that it's not complete until you say something about it, right? Whether you're a loud person or not, maybe you're a loud person who claps and goes wild, but there's a sense in which, until you can share with someone else and say, that was amazing, the joy of it is not fully complete. And I think that's wired in us. We are wired to glorify, because we're wired to glorify God. And how do we glorify God? We love him. We obey him. We proclaim him. We trust him. You know, you think of those psalms, even when the psalmist is saying, how long, O Lord? And he's glorifying God. So glorifying God doesn't necessarily mean just the joyful songs. It's also the laments of our life. And then as the question goes on, we enjoy him as a way that we glorify him. I think this is so helpful as we think about the Christian life, that it's to glorify God and it's to enjoy him forever. I think the Westminster Divines, they hit on something very deep and biblical here, and also something very pastoral. To say, what is the purpose of life? What are we here for? And it's to glorify God. In one sense, you've already said enough in one sense, but I think they were very wise to say, and to enjoy him forever. Because I think glorifying is enjoying him, but we could have a wrong view that says, I can recognize that God is powerful. I can recognize that he is God. And sort of that's where it ends. And I've met people that's kind of their relationship with God. Even as far as saying, no, I know I need forgiven for my sins. He forgave them. Just sort of very austere, very, God is powerful. I recognize it. And that's sort of the end of the story. But to say to enjoy him forever. I don't know why music is on my mind tonight, but there are musical styles that I appreciate, even respect, but I just don't enjoy them. And maybe raise your hand if you could think of a style where you could objectively look at it and say, what they're doing is incredible. I just don't like it. It's not going to be on my speaker at home, because we're all wired differently, right? And so I think that that part of the question is so helpful, to glorify God, to enjoy him forever. And if that language sounds strange to you, remember that John 17:3 passage that we read at the beginning. Jesus says, "This is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Like, that's eternal life, to know God. And that starts now. Or Psalm 34:3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." I mean, just hear the joy of the psalmist. Or Psalm 34:8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Or Psalm 16:11, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Or Psalm 84:2, "My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God." We're called to glorify him, and we're called to enjoy him forever. And the wonderful thing is, if you feel some sense of conviction of maybe in this season I haven't been enjoying him, this isn't now some new burden placed on you. This is an open door that says if this is what he made you to do, then that means his spirit in you is going to work desire for him, love for him, trust in him, all of it. He not only saves us, but empowers us. The next part of the question, we do this forever. This is not just for this life. This is our chief end for all of eternity. It doesn't change once we get to the new heavens and the new earth. Many things will change, but what God made us for will continue to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. There will be ways that we no longer glorify him in the new heavens and the new earth. In one sense, lament won't be a part of what we do. Right now, it's a beautiful part of what we do that God has given us to do. Praying through tears to him, there he will wipe every tear away. So some things will be different, but our calling will be the same, to glorify him, to enjoy him forever. Really what this comes down to is that idea of a chief end, of answering that key question, what were you made for? If you can answer that question, and I think this first question and answer helps us to, in a succinct way to summarize, if you can believe that with your whole heart, that I am made to glorify God, to enjoy him forever, if any of us can do that, it's going to bring contentment, it's going to bring joy. And as I think of the young people in the room, as I think of you and pray for you, this is my prayer for you, that you would come to know the answer to that question. And the earlier that you can answer that question, the more God is going to use that to shape the rest of your life. Even as you go to college or don't go to college or go into a certain field or not, your calling remains the same, to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. This is what you were made for. And so that's what he has called us to do. As we think of, as we come to a close here, just think of Jesus himself, who, if Jesus was, as he was, the perfect man, you would say, if this question and answer is accurate, that means it's accurate for Jesus. What is Jesus' chief end? But to glorify God, especially his Father, and to enjoy him forever. And you see that, especially in the Gospel of John, but we've seen it in the Gospel of Luke. You just see Jesus' love for his Father overflowing. And you see that everything he is doing is to glorify his Father, even to the point of death, even death on a cross. And so Jesus has gone before us as our forerunner. He will empower us to do the same. And so let me pray for us with that in mind, that our hearts would be set on our chief end. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for something like this catechism that can helpfully summarize your word, bring many passages together to be stored up in our hearts. Lord, I pray for everyone here, for our whole church, that you would grow us into a people who know what we were made to do, to glorify you, to enjoy you. I pray that this week you would be working that in our hearts, that we might even be surprised at the ways that your spirit might bring joy and contentment, a desire for you to our hearts. I pray for the young people here, that you would bless them and keep them. I pray that you would draw them to salvation if they have not put their faith in you yet, and that you would give them this great purpose, this great calling to glorify you and enjoy you forever. Be with us this evening as we rest and prepare for the week ahead. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.